everybody. I want to greet you very warmly. But I'm going to sit down. My computer is greeting me back, so it's good. Yeah, I just want to sit down because I do not because that is Mr. Ronke, where are you? What happened? Why is Mr. Ronke? What? You went to the back? Please come to the front. They have to see some if faces. I know that I have home court advantage. So, Mr. Ronke, please come to the front. Where is Baba? Yes, welcome. So today is your first time of being here? Okay. You've been here before. Why were they welcoming you? Was it not him you were welcoming this morning? Where is Sister Bonalet? Where are you? Mr. Jackie? Mr. Lola? Come over here. Come this way. Come this way. Thank you. Where is Annika? Yeah, all right. You take the microphone. You'll be reading first for me this morning. So it's so good to see every one of us.
Okay. If this is okay by you, I have to say that my back is not going to let me stand up. But I want to thank God for every one of you. And we're in difficult times. There's no doubt about that. But if we are true to ourselves, we'll know that God has been faithful. We're not the first to go through difficult times. We won't be the last. But we have to continually remind ourselves of who has called us into his kingdom. So when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, God is faithful by whom you have been called into fellowship with his son. Then he said to them again in the second letter that I don't want to keep you ignorant of some of the things we experienced. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, we went through so much difficulty that we despaired of life. If the Apostle Paul went to a psychologist in our time, they would say he's depressed. That's what they would have used because he said, we despaired of life. But he said, the reason, he said, so we were so burdened and we were pressed beyond ourselves. But he said, God did this in order to show us that it does not depend on us, but on God who raises the dead. So for him, it was a lesson. So I want to pray, and my prayer is centered on the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? And he also made a promise. He said, if those days, as we're going to study shortly, were not reduced, the duration, if they were not cut short, even the very elect will not be able to stand. So based on that, I want to just offer a quick prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you because, oh Lord, you are indeed our Father. You said to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so, Lord, you who knows when every sparrow falls, the same Father who knows the very hairs of our head, we commit our souls to you. We pray that, Lord, you will grant us the grace to stand before the Son of Man, that we will be able to persevere, and so that we are made fully mature. When you come, we will be ready and we will hear that sound. Come, thou blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world for you. So I thank you, Lord, for all who are gathered here, our children, our youth, our grandmothers, our mothers, and every one of us who are parents, non-parents, whatever we find ourselves at whatever stage in life, we commit our souls to you. We bless you. Faithful shepherd, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I decided to give all of you a printout, just a summary of what we're going to do today. We're not going to be going through it, but I wanted to make sure you have a study guide, or it's just a reminder. So if you were to summarize what it is we are learning today, you can just go through that. So I'm not necessarily going to go through all of it, but I summarized what it is I'm hoping that we can, you know, consider this morning. We've been talking about the Messiah returns. Behold our King. So what I want us to do, and this came from an experience I had many years ago in Kano. So there were so many difficult times, you know, in 1978, some of you may, you know, but I know my mind, the rest will remember. It was the Mitocene between 78 and 1980 there was some very violent, wicked form of killings in Kano. And it was a man called Mitocene. And so if you went to Kano at the time, you would really feel on edge. That was where I became born again, and I always went back there because my brother Michael lived there. So one of those times, as we were thinking of how difficult the times were, everybody was just shaking. You could feel a sense of fear because these strikes were happening at random, and there was no way to, you couldn't predict the pattern of who was being killed and who was being, you know, kidnapped. So I can't remember how the conversation got to where we were. It was basically what I can remember, that the times are difficult. Well, fast forward, this is 2022, the times are even more difficult. So what I like us to do, which we did that day, is to read the whole of Matthew chapter 24 together. I think I liked what Brother Wale did this morning. So if you can project it, if you could project the whole of Matthew chapter 21, this is what we're going to do. So this side will read the two verses. This side will read two verses. So keep going until we finish the whole of Matthew chapter 24. I said, Brother Lodger, are we going to finish this today? I think so. I think we're going to finish it. So this is what I want us to do. If we can project Matthew chapter 24, this side will start reading. You read two verses. This side will read another two verses, and we keep going on and on and on and on like that. So I will be the third person. So actually, let's do it this way. So you do two, you do two, I do two, you do two. We keep going. Okay, Matthew chapter 24. So let's start from this group. So Bumi, your group, let's read the first two verses. Okay, go. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Therefore, when he sees the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, when he reads, let him understand, then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
So Mambi. For the carcasses, there the eagles will be gathered together.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
And he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When the branches already become tender and put forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors.
Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
But of that day and hour, no.
Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were coming of the Son of Man be.
For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the Son of Man, coming of the Son of Man, be.
Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left.
Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into.
Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season?
Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods.
But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards,
the master of the house will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. So when we read through with my brother and his friend called Moses, that passage stayed so much on my mind. And it made me realize that the authority on the last things, the things that I regard the end of the age as we know it and the return of the Lord, the one who knows about it is the one who is coming. I want to read a passage that has somehow confused us when it comes to this issue of how the Lord is going to return. And it's something we call the rapture that many of us get tripped on because we think, or some people think, that Paul is saying something different. But I want to take us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the letter to the Thessalonians, the apostle Paul says something, and I want you to pay attention to it. From verse 13. Anika, can you read for us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 17.
That you may walk properly towards those.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13. 13 to 17.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the angel of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the death of Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Thank you. If you read carefully, it says, verse 15, for we declare this to you. He's talking about himself and the band of apostles and prophets and teachers that the Lord commissioned to go into all the earth and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to observe everything he commanded them. So he said, we declare to you by the word of the Lord, not just only by the authority of the Lord, but by what the Lord himself taught. In other words, the apostle Paul is trying to remind these brethren based on what he knew the Lord taught. You know, the apostle Paul did not follow the Lord when he was physically here on earth. So when he had received the revelation of the Lord Jesus and had been discipled, probably by people like Barnabas and the rest, he did at some point go back to Jerusalem to meet with John, James, and those who had been with the Lord from the beginning, just to run by them what he was preaching. So you will hear him say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I pass on to you that which I also received. I am passing on to you what I also received. So here the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to talk to you about this question of the Lord's return based on his teachings, based on his word and his authority. So the Apostle Paul is revealing to us what that will look like based on what Jesus himself taught. So he says, I'm going to tell you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, will not perceive those who have fallen asleep. This is what the Thessalonians were afraid of. They wondered if the Lord returned, what about those who died? They may miss it. That's what they were worried about. So what about my father who died in 1980? If he was a believer, is he going to miss the resurrection? Because they thought, okay, if the Lord comes, he's going to take us. But what about the dead? And the Apostle Paul said, that's not a problem. This is what is going to happen. That at the coming of the Lord, we who are dead, we will not actually go before them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, which is also, later on we'll see, is the trumpet call of God. The Apostle Paul is basically repeating what the Lord said. The sound of the trumpet of God, and then the dead will rise up. The dead will rise up. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. So therefore, encourage each other with these words. So the Apostle Paul is saying to them, don't worry. Those who have died, they will partake of this. The Apostle Paul is not saying anything contrary to what Jesus taught. He's just giving us more details. And this is what the rest of them taught. So let's go back to this question of what will happen before the Lord returns? What will happen before the Lord returns? One of the duties of a shepherd, of a leader, in a congregation is to prepare the bride of Christ for the return of the master. We will be quite remiss if we did not work to make sure that we have the congregation, whoever the Lord has put within, you know, that the responsibility of making sure the people of God are discipled. We have to make sure that we present every one of you perfect before God. Hey! That's a hard task. Well, the Apostle Paul said, we work hard to present every man and woman mature or perfect before God. We use everything, warning, teaching, everything. We do everything to make sure that everyone is presented before the Lord perfect. He prays for them and says that the Lord will keep you blameless on the day we come before the Lord, that none of us has any reason to be ashamed. If that's what they did, that's what we should do. It's not in the strength of human, it's not in our strength. We already know that. What do we always sing? It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I, by the Spirit of God, I have basically raised you up as a virgin bride for the Lord. That is our duty. So let's go to this Matthew chapter 24 one more time. I'm going to just read a few. And I told you that the first thing the Lord said, so when his disciples came to him and said, so tell us, when will all these things be? Verse 3. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? So in verse 4, if you look at the paper that I gave you, the Lord, let's just break down. We'll first go to the breakdown of the Olivet Discourse. The first thing he warned them about in verse 4 is what? Watch out for deception. So let's talk about that. He says, see that no one leads you astray. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that you are not led astray? Yours. Why? Because you have the ability to test the truth. All of us, you have the ability to test the truth. Why? The Spirit of God lives in every believer. Bible says, test all things. Prove all things. Now take my word for it. Go to the Word of God and test it. It's your responsibility. See to it that no one deceives you. No one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, in my authority. And they say, I am the, you see, when you see the word Christ, put the word Messiah, it makes it easier. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the one designated. And it's happening. Have you seen video of a guy, either in Zimbabwe or Kenya, Uganda, is making his congregation eat grass and they are eating it in our time? Have you seen that video? Okay. Whose responsibility is it not to fall into that error? The congregation's responsibility. they've left that responsibility. It's like they took out the brake in their car and they are driving it, but they took it out by themselves. It is your responsibility not to be deceived, because one, you have the word of God and you have the Spirit of Christ. So don't say, Brother Lord just said, no, I read it in the word of God and the Spirit of God confirmed it to me. That's the best way to do it. Okay, so he says, see to it that no one deceives you. The next one is, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, hi. Okay, Baba, is there any war going on right now in the world? Where? Uh-huh. Russia and Ukraine. He said, look, you will hear of wars and rumors of it. Iran and Israel are about to duke it out. This you will hear. He said, you will hear of this, but see the Lord's take. See that you are not what? And I want to check your Bible. I want to open to your Bible. See to it that you are not what? You are not alarmed. No, here. You're not here with me. Open your Bible. Chapter 24, verse 5. For many will come in my name. He goes on. And verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of war. What's your responsibility? See to it that you are not troubled. Some of you are troubled by just what's going on in the nations. There is that cryptocurrency. You are troubled. But Jesus said, see to it, Sister Jackie, see to it that you are not alarmed. Why? For this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. It's an interesting choice of metaphor that Jesus is using. If you think, and most of us, no, I wasn't there when I was born. I know I was born and I came crying. So I did not witness it. I don't know what my mother went through, but I know it was painful. I have watched my wife give birth to three. When it first began, when she started having early pains, I was not alarmed. Because the doctors had told us when it is you're going to come. They told us when to come. So it got to a point where I said, everybody get into the car now. We're running to the hospital. Because they told me what I should watch out for, apart from the fact that I'm a doctor. But they told me what to watch out for. If the water breaks, you're coming right here. If this happens, you're coming right here. But if it first starts, you keep watching. If it's coming every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes, they told us what to do. Jesus is saying, when you see wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pandemic, he said, you know what? At the beginning of the birth pangs, because there will be a delivery. It's not yet. Then, this is the next one. You know, 2 weeks ago when I was here, that was well illustrated. We were praying for our brothers and sisters who were facing persecution for their faith. Jesus said, then, at this period, they will deliver you up to tribulation. Tribulation is like a pressing, when you are pressed, intense pressure. And they will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations, not because you have seven heads, for my name's sake. You will be hated because of the Lord Jesus. He said to his disciples, if they hated me, they will hate you. Some of you are always shocked, and I am shocked, when people don't seem to like us. Some people don't seem to. What? We just don't understand why in my workplace, or in your workplace, you get there early, you do your work, you even do beyond, you go well beyond what you're supposed to be doing. And there are some people who just don't like you because you are a believer, because you rub their conscience the wrong way. Your being there makes their life uncomfortable. So they resist you. Not because there's something wrong with us. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, all who live righteously will be persecuted. So it is a given. But he says this, the verse that pains me is verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Who do you think he's talking about? Within the body of believers. He said, many will fall away. Not only that, many will hate one another and they will betray one another. You know that. You are reading that. And then another round of false prophets. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray because lawlessness will be increased. In the midst of that, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. Where is the church growing the fastest right now? Those of you who follow church growth, where is the church growing fastest right now? You have to answer. Take a microphone. You have to, where? I want to mention some countries. No. Iran and Afghanistan. Can you believe that? You better believe it. In the midst of all of these trials, the Lord, the King, you know, Brother Wally was reminding us today of who the Lord is. He is doing something that is contrary to the way things should go. In those nations that are huffing and puffing and hating Christians, he has raised a multitude of followers for himself. Then verse 15. So we talked about intense persecution of believers worldwide. A falling away from the faith. The gospel is preached in every part of the world. Number F, abomination that causes desolation. Okay, so here we have to do a little bit of Bible study. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. That's what they call an editor puts it there. The Lord is talking to a people that he knows have an understanding of what he's talking about. It's a reference point. It's say if says Sister Dotun tells me, this is how to get to where I'm, if you pass this bridge, then you are five houses from me. She thinks I know what she's saying. She thinks I know the reference point. The Lord is saying, when you see this, so what you do as a Bible believer is to go to that place. Go read about it in the book of Daniel. I'm not going to do that today. But I want to give you an assignment. Go read about it. He said, when you see this happening, then let those who are in Judea, he's talking to, flee to the mountains. Let those on the housetop not go down or take what is in his house. Now, let me say there were two questions or three questions that were asked of Jesus. They asked him, when will these things be? When will be the destruction of the temple? What will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? So he answered all three of them. He told them exactly what will happen regarding the destruction of the temple, which happened in AD 70. It started in AD 67, but Titus eventually finished it for what his father failed. I've asked Sister Buki, I sent you another Word doc. I sent you a Google doc. When you get to it, you'll see it. She's going to post it for everybody, and there are videos in that link. So you will all get it. If you play those videos, you will see a video on the destruction of Jerusalem as exactly Jesus prophesied. Now, I want to say something. We always say that Jesus is my Savior. That's true. He's my Lord. That's true. But Jesus is a prophet. He is the last prophet. And prophets usually declare the mind of God and the things that God has ordained. So one of the things the Lord Jesus did was to tell of the destruction that was awaiting them. And that generation, one or two generations, will actually experience it exactly as the Lord said it happened. In AD 70, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Romans thought that Jews hid gold among the stones. So they turned the stones upside down. They scattered the place. They took the treasury from the house of the Lord back to Rome. They upturned every stone, just as the Lord Jesus said. When Jesus came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, they said, "Who is that?" You remember the answer? That's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. So Jesus is prophetically telling us exactly what is going to go on. All right? That happened. So if that happened, it means every other thing he's telling us is going to happen. Let's take a break. Let's take a break. Let's stand up and just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The reason we are doing it is because his word is true. He said, heaven and earth could pass away, but my words will never pass away. So please have a seat. Praise the Lord. All right. So I'm going to read a passage that when those of us from the Delta, we used to struggle with reading this passage. So it says, because at that time we didn't know GN is gnashing. We used to call it the gnashing of teeth, but we were corrected later on. Anyway, so now he says this. He is, let's go. I'm not got there yet. Okay. So he talks about this abomination of the desolation, and he goes on. So the next thing, there's something called the tribulation, the great tribulation. He says in verse 22, verse 21, for then there will be great, intense pressure, tribulation, such as has never been seen since the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. It'll be one of a kind. Why is he telling us of something that is coming if we will not be there? Why is he telling us about this? Because a lot of people have thought that we will not be here. Why is he teaching his disciples? Brothers and sisters, this is my understanding. You can check it out. We will be here for a great part of the intense pressure that will come upon the whole world. I believe that. That's my belief. And I like to prepare believers not to swallow this poison that we will not be here. Don't worry about it. But look, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's not talking to everybody. He's saying to them, look, there will be so much pressure that if those days were not cut short, no human being will be saved. But for the sake of the elect, so if the elect are not there, why is it going to be cut short? In order to escape, you know, the Tim LaHaye and his disciples left. In order to escape this sin, they have told us that we will not be here. That flies in the face of the Lord Jesus. If you read it in context, why would God want to cut it short for the sake of the elect? If the elect is not going to be there in any case. He says, if those days had not been cut short, no human being will be saved, will be able to make it. But they have been cut short because of the elect. So in verse 23, go look at it, verse 23. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah. Or there he is. Or he's coming in Oshobo. No, it's in Lorin. He's going to be in Guatemala. Do you know there was a time when I was in Ife? People were practicing. They were practicing how to jump from hill. I said, what is wrong with these people? What are you trying? Do you jump? How far? I mean, they were trying to practice the rapture. I didn't know what they drank, but if it was in Sapele, I would have known what it is they took. I'm not going to say it. I thought something was wrong because they were trying to practice the rapture in Ilorin. You should go to Kilimanjaro if you want to go to Everest. But let's forget about the foolishness of certain people. It says, there will be people coming. And if you go on the internet, it's many, many. Say, this is how the Lord is going to come. You watch out now. See this number, 2022. If you divide it by this, if you multiply this, and equals it, it comes to that. I know the Lord is coming in September of 2023. Really? That's called the devil's mathematics. It's not, the people are doing it. And then they moved it a little bit when it, do you remember in 1999? Those of you who stored water, how long did it take you to eventually drink the water? I went and bought five gallons because I said, if it's good, we might as well be gone. But some of you bought food that will last you for 10 years and you are still eating it now in 2020 because they said your bank would not give you money. Some of you went and put $1 million in your garage in Nigeria. That happened in Nigeria. I know some governors now are trying to ship their millions out of. So it does happen. These, Jesus said, when they say such things, they are false cries. They are false. They are trying. He said, look, they will perform signs and wonders. They will actually be able to show some signs and wonders that will make you think they have special power or special anointing from God. Have you heard of people saying, if you send me some money, I will send you some seed? If you've not heard of it, blessed be God. Then you guys have done a wonderful job of putting a firewall between this congregation and those false things. Then I'm happy. But there are some people saying, if you send me some money, I will send you a little bit of water, taken from a special spring, and this is going to happen. Jesus said, if you hear those things, look. He's in the wilderness. Do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Listen to this. Verse 27. The nature of the coming of the Lord is going to be worldwide. Everyone, there's nothing secretive about it. Elijah did not say it. Jesus, the Lord who is coming, the one who is coming, he said it to us. The inauguration of the president of this nation is never done in secret. We all can see it. Jesus said, for as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the east, west, so will the coming of what? Yeah. People say there are two types. First, he will come secretly. It's not in the Bible. Then he will come for everybody to see. It's not biblical. The thing about reading the Bible is that when you are wrong, you become humble and say, brethren, I was wrong. Those people who talked about Jesus first coming, stealing us away, then he will come again, it's not supported from what the Lord himself is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, immediately look at how it's coming. Where there is a corpse, you will see buzzards. They know where it is. That's where they'll be gathered. In other words, when he comes, it will not be secretive. Maya, is that clear to you? Make sense to you? Okay. Verse 29. Immediately after that tribulation that the Lord had to shorten, cosmic disturbances. This has not happened before. We're not talking of partial eclipse. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. A lot of things have happened. We just had a bloody moon not too long ago. We've had many things, meteorites and all of them. Many things have happened. Comets and all of that, but not like this. Then, look at it. I want all of you to look at verse 30. Can project it actually. Then will appear in the skies. The other word for heaven is sky. So this heaven is not where God dwells. It is, okay, it's actually better this way. Then will appear in the skies, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven. The sign of the coming of the Lord will then appear like lightning in the east, that everybody sees in the west. The Son of Man's coming will be like that. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why are they going to mourn? Go read Revelation chapter 6. Let me read Revelation chapter 6 for you. They are going to cry. They are going to be terrified because of this. Revelation chapter 6. When people say fear the devil, I say, really? There's someone else you need to fear more than the devil. All right. Revelation chapter 6 from verse 12. So see if this does not somehow. Yes, you have something for me? You have a question? Yes, go on. Yep. Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can. People want you to hear. Uh-huh.
Matthew 24.
Verse 15.
If we go from 15 to about like 19.
Yes, yes.
So I think I keep looking at 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. You know, that sort of and all that showed the destruction of Jerusalem.
That's the AD 70.
Yes, back then. You know, and the Jerusalem of today is the rebuilt Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
You know, because so I keep wondering, was he talking about that time? Do you understand? Because it's like we keep inferring from that time to what to obtain
in the future.
In the future. So
good,
and I
good.
Believe that's where there's so much confusion and so many either heresies and doctrines from that. So even for me, I can't.
That's a good question. So is when Jesus is saying those who are in, they should not go. So they asked him three questions. So let's go the way. Let's clarify it from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Mark's Gospel 13, because there are three parts in the Gospel where this same. That's a very good question. It says, well, our sister is saying, so when Jesus is saying, let those who are in Jerusalem let flee to this, flee to that. What does that? Is that part of this future? So the way to answer it is, I want to read Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, and I want to read from verse 1. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said, so the first thing they came to him about was, can you see this wonderful temple? That's all they asked in this account. Jesus said, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately. What are they asking? Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? What things? The destruction of the temple. In Matthew chapter 24, the question is different. Let's go there. So in Matthew chapter 24, let's see what they ask the Lord Jesus. Matthew 24. And it's also in Luke chapter 21. So if you go to Luke chapter 21, but we're going to. So in chapter 24 of Matthew that we're reading, this is the account given on the question asked Jesus. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. And he said, you see all these? Do you not? Truly I tell you, there would not be left here one stone upon another that would not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, it could be those three mentioned, asked him privately. Now let's look at what they're asking. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the close of the age? So this time they are asking for three things. So he answers all three of them. He answers the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70. And people fled. People fled. They went and hid in caves. Some did escape. But the ones who remain in Jerusalem, they all perish because Titus burned everything down. So exactly what Jesus said came to pass. But the second question was, what will be the sign of your coming, when you are about to come, and then of the end of the age? So those are the things that are in Matthew chapter 24. Because I didn't put too much attention on the destruction of Jerusalem because it has happened. But I put, there's a video that you will be able to see. You will see the historical account. You will watch it on how Jerusalem was destroyed. So now we are concerned with the signs of the coming of the Lord and of the end of what we call the age. Thank you. Okay. So Jesus said, when he comes, the nations will mourn. Why are they going to mourn? It's in Revelation chapter 6. So Revelation chapter 6 actually basically follows some of these things. So like cosmic disturbances, the difficulties, the inflation, and the death, pestilence, and earthquakes, you will see them as the seals have been opened in the book of Revelation. Is this boring you all? Yeah. Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. But I want to read verse 12. Baba, come on. You're coming to read for me. Come on. Can you put Revelation? Yeah. Can you put from verse 12? Can Baba read it for me? Read all the way to verse 17.
I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?"
Thank you. So if you take Revelation chapter 6, it will mirror what Jesus was saying. This will happen, and there will be cosmic disturbance. He said, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will turn red. The stars will be shaken. The heavens will be shaken. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. When those things happen, what do are human beings going to say, "Get me some ice cream. I'm going to put my leg down and enjoy this great sight"? Is that what they're going to do? No, no. Because all of a sudden, they are going to be thinking of their bitcoins, of the islands they bought, of their things and their survivor. You saw what happened during the pandemic. You saw what happened, right? Why didn't you start this business of journey to the moon long ago? You would have made a lot of money during the pandemic because you would have taken 15 people at a time, go and put them in the moon until you would have made so much money. People will want to escape the things that are to come. So the islands are removed from its place. When they talk of kings, they mean the principal individuals of our age. It doesn't have to be King Charles alone, but it means the people who are, the generals, the rich, the powerful, everyone, slave and free, hid themselves when Jesus said they would mourn when the Lord comes. Because when the Lord returns, he's coming to set up his kingdom. He is going to bring the earth to account. The Bible says, though hand joined hand in hand, hand together, the wicked will not go unpunished. That day is coming. That day is coming. They say, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne and from the anger of the Lamb.
No, that's the wrong way. Thank you.
For the great day of their wrath has come. All the child abuse, all the kidnappings, the killings, they will be accounted for. They will be accounted for. Not at the Hague, not at the Supreme Court. This is the reign of the Messiah, because he's going to actually sit down and all humanity will come before him. Nations will have to settle quarrels. He will sort it out. That's why in Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government, the rulership will be on him. It is his responsibility. Yes. Yes, Sister Dutton. Somebody, please give.
My question is this. It sounds like a really bad time because of all of the things that are happening. But then is it also a time really of rejoicing, where we should be happy that we're getting the justice that we, that many people have deserved through the ages? Like, people that have deserved better can now, like, properly be avenged.
Thank you for that question. The question is well answered in Revelation chapter 19. Yes, you see, we have two more. You have another question?
Yes.
So last, okay.
So I have my Bible here, and chapter 7 is open. And
chapter 7 of which book?
Of Revelation.
Okay.
So it talks about the 144,000. Can you please just explain that?
Yeah. So let's take them one at a time, and they are important to go through. So can I beg all of you to do simple assignment? I'm going to give you some resources, and please just take your time, go through them. These are very important questions, because we won't be able to go through all of it today. But when I'm going to send them to you, as it's a book here, make sure everybody gets it. Just go through them and take time to go through the Bible. Stay on it for a while. If anything you don't understand, ask the Lord to show you. So let's first answer the question. It will be a difficult time for the wicked, but for the righteous, there will be rejoicing. In that same chapter 6 of Revelation, he said, under the altar, there were the souls of the righteous. And what they were they saying? They said, Lord, when are you going to judge the earth? When are you going to finally pay back those who have destroyed the earth, those who have drunk the blood of the saints? And the Lord said, just a little while. But the Lord is going to do it. So in Revelation chapter 19, this is, thank you for all the questions, you know, because you ask, I'm going to give you. I'm just share what I know. There are some things I don't know. I'm just going to tell you past. That one is, Elijah doesn't know. But this is some of the things that I myself have seen. Verse 1 of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. After this, I heard, now hear this, what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory belongs to our God, for his judgments are what? They are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged her on her the blood of his servants. And then he said, once more, they cried out, hallelujah. And then here, let's go. And 24 elders of verse 4, and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was sitting on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. From the throne came a voice, praise our God. All you, his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude. And like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Finally, we can say it. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, for our God reigns. It's finally come. It's not anticipatory. Where we're singing it and hoping it will happen, it is finally happening. Let us exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to do this, to do that, to do that. And then you're going to read the rest of it. Okay. So, I will come to the 144,000, and then it's in chapter 7. So, remember that when Jesus is saying there will be a time of great tribulation, it's not 2 hours. It's not 3 hours. Within that period, a lot of things will happen. A lot of things will happen. And there will be a time when the devil is not the one putting the punishment. God himself will arise to punish the world. That is what people think that so hear me well, please. So he says, hear me well. I could be very wrong in this, but let me just share with you what I know and what I'm going to share with you. That the great tribulation will usher us into a time called the wrath of God. And because we saints are not appointed to wrath, it is actually thought that that's when we'll be taken away so that God can visit on the wicked, his full wrath. And this is still not the final judgment. So before that happens, our sister doctrine, if you read Revelation, the best thing, listen to it as if it does not have chapters or verses. Just listen to it. You say, he opened the seal, and this one came, open the seal. Just keep going. And when it comes to chapter 7, this is how it goes. In chapter 7, something happens. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. No wind might blow on the earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying to them, these angels are from God. They say not from the devil. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of them, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12 times 12, we know it's 144. So 12,000 times 12 is how we got that 144,000. It's not done. Sister Dutton, what follows? After this numbering, behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation. That's not hyperbole. When it says no one could number them, it's not just like, in Yoruba, if you want to exaggerate something, you know the language to speak, switch to Yoruba if you want to make an exaggeration. Or pidgin. You don't plenty, you know, so that. After this, so from where are these people from, this multitude that no one could number? From all tribes and peoples and languages, where are they standing? Before the throne, before the Lamb. So they are with clothed in white robes with the palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped, saying, amen. Blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then, hear this. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these? Do you know who these are? Clothed in white robes, and from where they have come? He said, sir, you know, I don't. And he said to me, what's the answer? These are the ones coming out of where? The great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they stand before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits in his throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of living water. And the Lord and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Okay. What we call the first resurrection only involves the righteous. So that captain up of the dead to be joined with the living is only for the righteous, which means those who are of the wicked will remain. They will remain here. So the Bible is showing us where these ones who have been ransomed, who have escaped, where they are. You following me? These ones from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they are beyond numbering. But the 144,000 that are numbered are on the earth. If you follow in the later chapters, they are going to be God's representatives here on earth to carry out. It's very likely that all of this is I'm saying to you, there is no certainty what I'm telling you, what I personally know. So be careful. I just want to warn you. This is my understanding, and you've got to check and come back with it clearer. So later on, you will see the 144,000 following the Lamb, warring with him. And this is where something that has always been wrongly taught in the church needs to be addressed. What is the role of Israel in God's redemptive plan? God has never forsaken Israel, has never put a pause on Israel, has always continued to work out his promises on what he wants to do with the physical descendants of Abraham. After all, it was through them we heard the gospel. The man we call Paul is a Jewish person. He said to us, what advantage does the Jew have? He said, much in every way. To them were committed the oracles of God. And they were the ones also who have suffered the wrath of God the most, because they know more about God. And God had a plan to discipline, chastise, and bring them. And I want to tell the brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, they are coming into the law, into the grace of Christ like never before. But so, let me stop here because I want to go for other things, and then we can talk a little bit more. So the 144,000, contrary to what the Jehovah Witnesses talk about, they're not the number of people who will be in God's heavenly arena. Because the numbers that we saw in the very throne of God, where else could God be? There is a number we can't put a number to it. So the Jehovah Witnesses are always wrong, saying that only 144,000 will be able to make heaven. The rest of us are going to be second class. That's not true. It's never true. I'll stop there. We'll go. Does that leave you a little bit for now? Yeah, because I'm going to give you homework. You know me. I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to ask you to trace the rest of the work of the 144,000 in the Bible. Now, let's talk about watchfulness and readiness. I will end here. When the Lord let's go to Matthew 24. We're going to end here. Like I said, this is what I call a bulleted presentation, just bullet points for our further study. But where I want to go today, Sister Lola, is let's be ready. Fear not. Mr. Aronke, fear not. Brother Kunle, don't be afraid. Don't forget we have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He leads. Don't forget that he leads us. We have a shepherd who is very much with us in this, what we call this faith journey. He started it for us. He will finish it. Don't be afraid. Do not behave like people who have no hope. The one who began a good work in us, he's able to complete it to the very end. So in conclusion, I'm going to go beyond where he says, as of the day when he's going to come, he elaborates on it. It will be like, this is what he says. Then will appear, verse 30, in heaven, the sign of the Son of Man and the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, majesty. And then he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. That's what Paul was referring to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That blast of God, what happened in Sinai, you know, when the giving of the Ten Commandments, there were loud trumpets called. These were not trumpets blown by human beings. It was so much that Moses and the people quaked. They were afraid. They were afraid because of the glory of God. It says, and then they will see the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. We will see it. He will send out his angels and they will gather his saints from one end of the heaven to the other. Then he asked this, verse 45. This passage has a great meaning for me. Actually, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief is coming, a thief makes an appointment with you and says, at 2:30, I'm going to break into your house. Well, you know, Elijah will be ready. You know that. You know I'll be ready, right? I will be ready. 2:30? Oh, I'll be ready. You open that door. Let's just let's be righteous. Yeah, be holy. So forget about the rest of what will happen. But it will be written, and there was. So I'm going to say. But anyway, say, but know this, if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must what? You must be ready. So all the time the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples how things are going to be, it was for them to be ready. Have you watched the Titanic? I've never watched the full movie. Have any of you here watched the Titanic? Okay, it's just us here now. I've never understood how people will be sinking a ship and they'll be listening to music and be throwing party. You know me as a Nigerian, I'm going to look for a tube. Did you see what people are doing? They are, you know, they're doing this. The Titanic is sinking. I'm going to cut a log, tie my leg to, you don't know. I will look for I will double up all the life vests. You don't know, Elijah. I'll be like Michelin Man. I'll be floating on that sea and I'm going to get to shore. These people are dancing. They're listening to music. The Titanic is sinking. And they have a love story. And I said, okay. I don't know where these people are from. It's not, that's not me. Because I want to see my wife. I'm not going to die in that ship. So Jesus said, therefore you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. There's no appointment card. It doesn't mean we would not know the general time, but we don't know the hour. He gave us enough hints to say, when you see this coming, you change your lifestyle. Change your lifestyle. Brothers and sisters, the only thing I want to fault me and all of us is that we still think we are living like the world is not changing right before us. Yeah, I don't seem to see a change in myself that much. I don't know about you. Let's leave it there. Verse 45, and I'm going to end here. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Who then? You know, Brother Wild. Where's Sister Wura? Sister Wura is not here today with us. Where is she? She on? Okay, she's online. So Sister B, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master will set, has set over his household? Brother Bumi, you hear that? To give them food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant who his master, when we find them doing that, when he comes, truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant, like the one who had one talent, should say, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with the drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces. Who is being cut in pieces? The servant of the master. And we put him with the hypocrite. And this is where we used to struggle. And in that place, there would be weeping and gnashing. We used to call it the gnashing of teeth. It's the weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be no dental. There'll be no dentist then. So, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, this is not being told us so that we should be afraid. It is so that we can be prepared. Yes, Mommy said ready. We have to be ready. Because we know what we are waiting for. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. This earth will be rid of wickedness. And we are finally going to sit with our Lord. All the humiliation and all the pain we've gone through will seem as if it was a gnat that just, we had to flick away like this. This light afflictions that work for us a weightier, eternal weight of glory, it will be revealed. It's not a pie in the sky. So let's rise up and sing this song. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. One more time. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. You can clap if you want. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Oh, no more sorrow there, we are going to see the King. And we sing, no more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, no more sorrow there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Let us pray. You know, the Apostle Paul said, comfort one another with these words. These are the things we need to continually say to one another. It won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. It doesn't matter how long, it wouldn't be long. As Master and Savior, we thank you because you are in charge of all things. You said all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. So you know what times have been appointed, and you know when you're returning. Lord, when you come, remember us in your kingdom. Amen. Remember us. Help us to overcome the trials of today and tomorrow. Fill our hearts with peace. You said in the world, you are going to suffer tribulation. In the world, you will go through this. But in you, you say, we have peace. And you say, my peace I give, not as the world gives. Lord, fill us with joy that only you can give us. Lord, give us an insight into the things that you have ordained for our glory. Open our eyes. These are not things that by reading a book we can understand. We need the illuminating guide of the Holy Spirit. We need your Spirit to show us exactly how to walk in these evil days, how to remain unspoiled, unsoiled by the world in which we live, where wickedness has multiplied. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many we wax cold. May our love for you, for one another, increase. Thank you, Father. We look up to you. You are faithful. Hold up our brothers and sisters who today go through a very difficult emotional period. People who need to be healed of traumas, of memories, we lift them up before you. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are suffering on account of their faith in you. We pray, O Lord, that you will shield their heart, that their faith will not fail them. We bless you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who are in hospitals, who are undergoing treatment for one reason or the other. Uphold them, sustain their hearts. And Lord, we want to be faithful. Reveal your word to us. We bless you now and forever. Receive all the glory. Amen.